Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back. You're here for another episode of Paper Route. I'm Corey Holmes, and yo, we got a good one today. I'm here with Ashley Nicole Moss.
Yeah, yeah.
I got Brandon Marshall with me, and we got our football contributor, Deshaun Jackson. He over on the West Coast right now. How we doing, family?
What's up, what's up, what's up?
Hello.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Jack, what time is it over there, man?
It's -3 hours.
Early, man. I got to get up early, which no, it ain't really that bad, though. It's 9 o'clock. It's 9:15.
9:15?
Okay. Yeah, that
boy in L.A. I love
it. Well, if
LA.
It's 12:15 here, Brandon, and it's a three-hour time difference.
I was doing TV. You know, I was just trying to spark a conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Get the show
it.
Going.
I hear you.
It's early over there. Yeah. I love L.A. Jack, I love L.A., bro. I don't know, Jack, if I could live there, but I can do extended stays in L.A.
I could never live there.
Why you couldn't live here, though?
Y'all different, bro. The culture different.
Oh.
He said, oh.
He said, I'm offended.
Not in a bad way, Jack.
He said, yo.
Let me ask you this question, Jack. Can you live in New York? Can you live, like, right now, post-career, not playing? Can you come? Look, see what I'm saying?
I'm going to let you get it all. Come on, let me hear it.
So that's my thing. Post-career now. You could do whatever you want to do. Can you come to New York? Can you come to Miami?
Miami, 100%. Not New York, though.
I
never really got down with New York because the lifestyle is too fast. It's too much pounded up right on you. I can't do that. Nah, but Miami for sure.
I can't see you in Miami, Jack, for a
oh,
year
I could totally
years.
See him in Miami. Mm-hmm. What?
Extended stay, yes, but not living.
He lived in Tampa.
I lived in Tampa, but a lot of people don't know, like, my year three, year four, year five, like, every offseason, I had a little spot at the Trump Towers. Boy, I was going.
Well, we ain't going to tell nobody that. Keep that on the low,
low. You're a Trump voter? You're a Trump supporter? Let's go. Keep going.
We don't talk politics, Brandon. Corey, please, save
us.
My
goodness. I used to mess with Trump before he got into his presidency stuff, but after that, I was like, it's kind
of... Oh, no, me too. I was a fan of, like, the Celebrity Apprentice and things like that. That was a good show.
Right. Yeah, I lived in Trump Tower in Chicago before. 2012.
Oh, both you and DJ got
yeah, 2012. Trump Tower, it was dope, man.
Such a nice
you know
building,
what, though?
Yeah.
It's a true story. Like, back in the day, like, before we start the show, like, the Yankees used to, like, a lot of the Yankees, like, Derek Jeter, yep. I believe, Alex Rodriguez, they had places at Trump Tower in New York City before he
Ashley.
Ran for president.
Ashley,
so.
Stop.
They did.
Well, I'm saying, you know, the audience already be getting on you about who she dated.
That's
she dated
public her. Information.
I know,
though.
I know, I know, but that's just getting.
No, 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 that's public
they
information.
They're gonna be like, oh, how does she know that? You know
because
how they be.
Because A-Rod did a whole tour. I think it was with Architectural Digest. He showcased his like penthouse at Trump Tower.
Hey,
like,
y'all need to leave Ashley Nicole Moss alone too. All y'all in these mentions, y'all better lift my sister up now.
That part. All right, well, hey, guys, let's get into this show. So there's been a lot of W's in free agency, right, this offseason, but there's also been a lot of question marks. What we're going to do is give you our top three losers. That'll be a little bit later. And there's been a lot of money made in those NIL deals nowadays, right? So we're actually going to dive into that conversation a little bit later. And y'all must stay tuned for our interview with Shador Sanders.
Shador.
It was a legendary one. It was a legendary one. But first... We actually have somebody outside the name of Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson to talk about, right? We actually got Joe Burrow in the news. So yesterday, Cincinnati Bengals Executive Vice President Katie Blackburn said yesterday that the team has started preliminary discussions about a deal with Joe Burrow. She told Jay Morrison of The Athletic, at the end of the day, it's what Joe wants. And so I think Joe's got to be happy. We've got to be happy. And hopefully we can be happy together. Right, so Joe Burrow, he's going into the third year of his rookie contract. And he's projected to make about $11 million. That'd be after bonuses and whatnot. But, hey, how about we look at the top paid quarterbacks in the NFL right now, right, based off their yearly annual salaries. So we got, once that graphic pops up, we got Aaron Rodgers, right? As you can imagine, he probably is one of the top paid quarterbacks.
Who else you got?
Just we spit got, them out. We got Russell Wilson. He's coming in three. So Aaron Rodgers makes about $50.3 million a year. Russell makes about $49 million. And you got Kyler Murray, number three, at $46.1 million. Now, taking a look at the list, where do you think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to, you know, place Joe on this list? Brandon, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so there's a lot to this, Ashley, Corey, Jack. Let me answer the question first. He will easily surpass the number one, which is Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
So Aaron Rodgers is averaging $50 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Keep talking about this. And Jack, I'm so glad you're on the show today because you can speak to this. When you're a free agent, when you're approaching a new deal, all you got to look at is what is everybody else making? When I did my deal before Deshaun Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. So now when D-Jack came to the when he got to the table, he's looking at what is Brandon making? What is Larry Fitzgerald making? What is Randy Moss making? I'm going back early, D-Jack, okay? Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, all these guys. So now what D-Jack is going to do is look at the whole market at the receiver position, mm-hmm. and he's going to say, well, B. Marsh had 100 catches, and I had 80 catches. Steve Smith had 75 catches. I had 80 catches, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy had this amount of touchdowns. This is where I want to be. And not only am I looking at what everybody else is making, I'm also looking at what my value is to this particular team. Without me on the Philadelphia Eagles, where would the Philadelphia Eagles be, that offense be? And that's how you go through it. And then there's some guys like, I would say, let's say the Calvin Johnsons of the world. There's the, you know, Ben Roethlisbergers and the Tom Brady's of the world, where if you're the best in class, Ashley, D-Jack, all you do is look at the number one person at your position.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're making this. That means then I have the opportunity to go past that by a million or two or, hell, even five, right, depending mm-hmm. on when that deal was done. So Joe Burrow is going to find himself easily above $50 million a year. But I said there's more to this conversation, and I'm going to be quick here because y'all know I like to go on rants and I can talk forever. And, Ashley, I think you're challenging me for the most winded person on the show, like, mm-hmm. for real, like – Ashley can go on a 10-minute monologue. It's unbelievable.
I'm a chill, though, because I'm tired of people saying I'm more long-winded than Brandon, or we're in a battle.
I know, that's what they're saying.
We're like in a battle.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that we're in the long-winded battle. I'm not going to do that anymore.
So I'll throw it to you really quickly, Ashley, after this, right? Look,
mm-hmm.
the NFL is in a terrible situation right now because you have Lamar Jackson out there, a guy who was the MVP of this league just a few years ago. We were talking about one of the most electrifying guys in not only football but in all of sports. He's one of the faces of the NFL, not just the face of a franchise, and he is struggling to get a deal done. He is struggling to get the value that we all believe he deserves,
mm-hmm.
right? All you got to do is look at the NFL's behavior. You got to look at the Baltimore Ravens' behavior. They offer him a non-exclusive. Now, there could be strategy there. Well, if you believe you can go get X on the open market, then go do that. So we're going to put you with a non-exclusive so a team can go out there and offer you something, then we match it, right? But that non-exclusive has him making, if he signs it, $32 million a year.
Yep.
They didn't even give him the exclusive tag, which puts him in the top five of all the quarterback positions, $40-something million a year. So that's disrespectful. This Lamar Jackson, it's not even Lamar Jackson versus the Baltimore Ravens anymore. It's Lamar Jackson versus the NFL. I think this is going to end in court. There's going to be labor laws broken. I think there's potentially litigation in the future,
mm-hmm.
100%. So they're in a terrible situation right now, Ashley, because Joe Burrow, you think Joe Burrow is going to have to go through this 2 years fighting
nope.
the Cincinnati Bengals to get the deal that he deserves and be the number one paid quarterback out there? What's her name? Katie, whatever, comes out and say he can get whatever he wants.
Right.
The NFL is in a terrible position right now, Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, First and foremost, shout out to the Cincinnati Bengals for valuing their franchise quarterback. That is how you do it. You don't make him beg. You don't make him grovel. You say, whatever we have to do to keep him happy is what we're going to do. That is the right attitude, and that is the right answer. Joe Burrow needed an offensive line. What did they do? They got him an offensive line. Joe Burrow's coming up on his next big contract, whatever we can do to make him happy. That is how you treat somebody when you value them. And I'm not going to dive into the numbers and what his contract's going to be or what it's not going to be. I'll let the, you know, former athletes do that and take care of all that. I'm going to simply say, this is exactly what it looks like when you are part of an organization that not only values you, but sees what your value is to their organization, to their team, to their franchise. This is how it's done. And I know we had the conversation yesterday about Lamar Jackson. Does he need an agent? And I said flat out, at this point, I don't know what an agent can do for him, because it's very clear that the Baltimore Ravens do not see the value in Lamar Jackson. They don't see the value in him as a player, and they don't see the value in him as a player for this particular team. And there's nothing you can do to force somebody to see your value. They first have to see your value in order for you to capitalize on it. That's not happening in Baltimore, and that is exactly what is happening in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They see his value, and him and his agent and his team are going to be able to capitalize on that, and that's how it's done.
D-Jack, how you feel about this whole Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson quarterback saga?
I mean, honestly, we talked briefly last time I came on about the Lamar Jackson issue, and I felt that since I've been there, I played there last year, you know, pretty much all season, right? So just going back to that topic, man, it's, for me, it's bothering, because I know what he's put in. I know how much work that he's, you know, put out there. He's a great teammate. He's a hell of a player. So for me, it's just mind-bothering that they won't, you know, they didn't even give him the exclusive. They did the non-exclusive. So like you said, that's really, you know, a shot in the foot. So for me, I mean, Joe Burrow, he's a hell of a player, man. But this third year, coming back off the injury, you know, what he's done to the team, been to the Super Bowl, even though they didn't win, you know, it's just his intangibles and his upside are huge. And I think among the best, you know, having Ja'Marr Chase, a player that he's played with in college, you know, T. Higgins, obviously Tyler. I mean, you know, he has talent out the world. So I definitely see the upside. And, you know, just them making that promise to say, hey, if we can both come together, we're going to give him whatever he wants. But I still think it's kind of contradicting, because as long as we can be happy is the word. So it's still like, yeah, he can go say, I want $300 million, but that might not be exactly what the Bengals want to give him. So, I mean, I think you have to read in between the thin lines of the language. But, I mean, definitely for them to come out there and say, we want him to be happy and we want him to be here, and hopefully it works for both sides. I mean, that's what you want in your GM.
I have a question for the both of you, because – the chat's going. We had this conversation yesterday, and people are saying, well, Lamar hasn't won anything, and Joe Burrow's been to the Super Bowl, you know, and okay, true, but Lamar Jackson has an MVP and Joe Burrow doesn't have one. So it's, you know, what one lacks, the other one has, and what one has, the other one lacks. So let's not use that argument. But the argument about an agent, I said on yesterday's show that I believe that at this point, an agent cannot do anything for Lamar Jackson because the relationship is so fractured. And I don't believe I have. Now, I have an agent for my career. Obviously, y'all have agents and had agents while y'all were playing. I don't think an agent can go ahead and force an organization to see the value in a player. I believe all an agent can do is capitalize on the value that a franchise already sees. Now, some people are saying, no, an agent can definitely force the value and force an organization to see a value in a player that they don't see it in. I don't think that's true, but let me go ahead and throw it to y'all and tell me if you agree or disagree.
So I'm so glad you brought this up, Ashley. Agent, and I tried to say this yesterday and I kind of chopped this up. An agent is a person who acts on behalf of another person or a group. So when we talk about agent, we're thinking about the what's your agent's name? Drew Rosenhaus. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about CAA. We're mm-hmm. thinking about WME. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of smart men and women out there that can sit at the table and negotiate on our behalf. Mm-hmm. There's smart individuals out there, men and women in business, that can sit at the table on our behalf and try to get the a fair deal done. So Lamar Jackson, and I say all that to say this, Lamar Jackson has a team of people that works with him on multiple business in multiple areas.
Say that again, because I think people think that it's just Lamar and his mom going, and that it's not true. They have lawyers. They have consultants.
So, let me answer the question, because sometimes I talk around questions, right? Let me do a better job of answering the question. Lamar Jackson doesn't need an agent. He has a team. And what we have to understand is that sports evolve, which means the business evolves, which means players' approaches evolve. We've never seen players like LeBron James and the Steph Currys of the world do the things that they're doing off the court. We are more sophisticated. We're more advanced on the court, off the court. One of the things, one of the new advances, D-Jack, and you can attest to this, right? When we came into the league, and I was a couple years before Jack, agents, financial advisors, very cookie cutter, the same structure. It was whatever D-Jack had, I had, right? Mm-hmm. Now, your agent could be different. Your financial advisor could be different. But it was the same thing. Who's your financial advisor? Who's your agent? And who's the person representing you from a marketing standpoint? That was the business around around players. Now, you have our star players like the Tom Brady's of the world, the J.J. Watts of the world, the Larry Fitzgeralds of the world, the LeBrons, the Steph Currys, the KDs that not only have businesses, but they also have family offices. What does that mean? We are starting to operate like the men and women in corporate America that's been running this company. Mm-hmm. How is Woody Johnson structured? He has a family office that's right outside of Rockefeller Center. I've been there before. You walk in, they have a credo. They have a mission statement. They have financial advisors that only work on their products and their mm-hmm. team. They have lawyers, not agents. They have lawyers. You're not getting 3% of my deal. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get a salary and a base. And every Christmas, you know what you get? I'm going to give you a Christmas bonus, just like I give everybody else on my team and my staff. So what we're not understanding right now, D-Jack, is that the business around the athlete is evolving, which means the infrastructure around the athlete is evolving. And that's why you see guys like Lamar Jackson and the Bobby Wagners of the world go from agents to family offices. And the NFL and the NBA, they're having a hard time adjusting.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, this is my question. What's the issue with him having his own representation and not having an official agent? I mean, for me, looking at that, like, you know, sports is evolving, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So for him to say, you know what, I don't want an agent. I don't want to do it the typical way. What's the issue with that? I think a lot of people are nitpicking at that. And it's like Brandon just said, everything is changing nowadays. It's not how it used to be. Like, we should be thinking like the owners think. We should have businesses set up, LLC set up. We should want to leave money back to our children or our family, like whoever it is. So I don't understand what's the big issue. Now, speaking on the agent side of it, right? Everything is slotted. Like Brandon just said, when I came into the NFL, it's a slot system. The agent, yeah, they help. Yeah, they have good relationships. Yeah, agent can help. Let's just say that.
Of course.
Let's set that clear. An agent 100% can help. But in reference to Lamar Jackson, that's not the only way it can get done, right? I've seen players go in and hire an attorney or a lawyer to overlook a contract. So the agent is not the only way to get a deal done. Let's say that first and foremost. So in this perspective, I see him as, you know, he wants to take care of his family. He's looking at it as, I'd rather get that 3%, 2%, 1% to my family than go give it to a Joe Knows. And I never even knew this dude. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I value that and I respect it, because a lot of people are not willing to step up and make them decisions. And him being so young with this being his second contract, I mean, come on, man. That speaks numbers for that dude.
And I'm glad you bring that up about nitpicking, because I feel like that's exactly what's happening. I feel like this goalpost is being moved because Richard Sherman, DeAndre Hopkins, Bobby Wagner, a fellow Baltimore Raven, Roquan Smith, all negotiated their own deals without agents. And if I believe, Roquan Smith got a $100 million contract, 5-year extension from the Baltimore Ravens without an agent, making him the highest paid linebacker at the time.
Ashley, hold on. How long has he been a Baltimore Raven?
Wow.
4 months, 5 months, 6 months. How long has Lamar Jackson been there?
But here's my point.
Hold on, no. Hold on, sorry, Ashley. Can you say that again?
So,
like, you just said something that is powerful.
I'll run this back.
Run that back. Go ahead.
Roquan Smith, also a Baltimore Raven, wearing the same jersey, same colors, same city as Lamar Jackson, negotiated a 5-year, $100 million extension, which made him, at the time, the highest paid linebacker in the NFL without an agent. So it's not a conversation about it can't happen, no one ever does it, it's not working, the Ravens don't respect him because he's not using an agent. It's happened before, and yes, I understand a linebacker and a quarterback are not the same. We're not negating that, we're not arguing position. What we are talking about is the absence or lack the absence or not of an agent. It is possible to get a deal done without an agent, and the Baltimore Ravens have played ball with a player who did not have one at the negotiating table. So the fact that all of a sudden they're taking advantage of their franchise quarterback not having one, and now it's an issue to pay him, and they're trying to, you know, finagle their way around the situation because Lamar doesn't have a traditional agent at the negotiating table, is hypocritical.
Well, Ashley, I want to say this. I think your take is brilliant. I haven't heard it anywhere on any other network, not even on SiriusXM on a radio show. The only thing that I'll push back on you on is that, you know, your point on, you know, the quarterback position, linebacker position being different. It is different on the field, but at the table, it's the same. We take that hat off. We take that jersey off. And that is the problem, right? When we sit at the table as players, do you respect us as players? And we've talked about this several times on this platform before. We have to work 10 times harder to get equal playing ground or on an equal playing field. So
Let me ask you this question. Isn't a linebacker equivalent to a quarterback on the defensive side?
Yeah, the Mike linebacker for sure, 100%. That's the quarterback on the defensive side, 100%. 100%. Listen, I know we got to push the conversation forward. Let's make sure we clip that tweet that what Ashley just said. All right, and then y'all watch this. This is how it works. This is how it works. I'm telling y'all right now, when you turn on ESPN later, you turn on FS1 later or tomorrow, you're going to hear that same take. Bro, people be stealing takes.
Now you might have called it.
Yo, I'm telling you.
That was a valid point. No,
watch. I guarantee this conversation appears on linear television. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, damn, didn't we hear that from Ashley Nicole Moss?
Heard it here first on Paper Rock.
You just retired, Jack, and you getting into this TV world. Watch. You're going to start saying some stuff. You're like, damn. Because it's your perspective, right? And you bring a unique approach to, you know, this conversation because you played with Lamar. You've been in Baltimore. Or you're Deshaun Jackson. And you're like, damn, did Club Shay Shay just say that?
Not Club Shay Shay.
He be stealing takes. Watch Nick what Nick Wright say. Nick Wright come on early. He say something basketball. Then Club Shay Shay just put a little twist on it. I'm telling you. Skip Bayless. Stephen A, you out there too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting messy.
It's real messy.
Let me stop.
Corey, save us.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to move on. So, it's been roughly about 2 weeks since the start of free agency, and now we're starting to get a good look at, you know, what teams are going to look like heading into the draft, right? So, you know, we've seen a lot of promising transactions, of course, but there have also been a couple franchises that just left us scratching our heads. So, what we're going to do is give you each of our top three losers of the offseason. Ashley, I'm actually going to bang it off with you. Who you got as your top three losers?
Pause.
I'm going to bang it off with you.
Ashley, you be saying pause.
I've only
more.
Said it to you once.
You like.
I don't go around. I don't go around pausing. I leave that to the men. That's one thing I don't
but
do.
But you said it more than me.
I've said it to you once.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were talking about the shorts and how. Yeah.
Right.
It was a little bit too far. A little TMI. Okay, so my biggest losers of the offseason, obviously the Baltimore Ravens. Don't feel like that needs much explanation. The Green Bay Packers, because I don't like how they do business, and them dragging this feed on this Aaron Rodgers to the Jets situation is annoying. You know you don't want him there. You know he doesn't want to be there. Just cut ties and keep it moving. And the Washington Commanders, because for some reason, Daniel Snyder still owns the team. And when you're calling, when Jerry Jones is calling for the report to be released, you know you have a problem. So those are my three teams. I don't think the Commanders can really start turning over a new leaf until they get rid of the Snyder family and that ownership. How he still has that team is beyond me, but that's a totally different conversation. But those are my big three losers.
Well, I love your three, mm-hmm. but I can easily see your third one, Daniel Snyder and the Commanders, turning into a huge win this offseason. And the reason why is because on the Commander side, they get rid of Daniel Snyder, and I think everyone in the building is going to be happy. You saw Coach McDaniels, Mike McDaniels, do I say his name right? Mike McDaniels for the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. At the owner's meeting.
He saw how he turned around when he found how much it was worth? He said, what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Like, right. So basically, they talked to Coach, and they were like, yo, did you hear how much the Washington Commanders is worth? And it blew his mind. He used to be there as like a intern or something, grad assist. I don't know what the hell mm-hmm. the name is. And he was like, damn, well, if it's worth that much, why was I paying for coffee, right? So I think everybody in the building is going to be happy on the Commander side when the sale go through. And I think Snyder's going to be happy because—
Who cares if he's happy?
Well, it's going to be worth almost, he's going to get almost $6 billion.
My issue yeah. with the situation is how leisurely he's been able to take his time finding the right suitor to buy this right. organization, to buy this team. Johnson, with everything baby. That he's been accused of, with all the exposés that have come out, why this franchise is not sitting in litigation and allowing right. a third party to go ahead and deal with the selling of this team is beyond me. And this is what Ooh. We are constantly talking about when we say that athletes are held to a different standard than their billionaire owners. It's ridiculous that somebody of this caliber being accused of all the things that he has been accused of more than once. There have been multiple reports that have come out. You have Jerry freaking Jones saying, release the papers. I know what's in them. Release the papers. Yeah. I know what's there.
Well,
and this man is still graduating.
Well, here's the problem.
Maybe Magic Johnson. Huh, maybe Jay-Z.
Let me
read this profile. Come on.
Like, it's not just him, though, Ashley. It's not just him. Let me tell you. Come on. It's the same thing that's happening with Lamar Jackson, or if anybody tries to threaten the Shield or try to tarnish the Shield. Those owners, of course, they're pushing him out, but they're also doing it together, right? And so when you think about even the business of it, you don't think these owners are coming together saying, you know what? Let's run it up. The Broncos went for $4 billion or $4.5. Can we get it to $6 billion? Because if his valuation of his company or his brand, his team increases, all of ours. It's like real estate. Mm-hmm. The property value increases. If you sell your house for $1 million and I bought mine's at $500,000, what you think is going to happen to my house? The valuation goes up. Right?
It's just gross that he's even allowed to leisurely take his time with this process. This is not a normal sell. NFL. This is not the Denver Broncos selling where, you know, they're selling. It's a clean sell. This is a dirty just situation. He should not be anywhere near it. And the fact that he still legally owns this team and has been allowed to leisurely take his time in this process is disgusting.
Right. Okay. Mm. Jack, what we got? We're going to go to Jack.
Yeah, we're going to go to Jack next. Jack, who is your top three losers?
I'm a nitpick a little bit. I'm going with the Broncos. And the reason why I say the Ooh. Broncos, you know, Russell Wilson, everybody, you know, was high on Russell going to Denver. And last year was just a year I feel like he struggled. I want to take a look at their defense. The Broncos defense, they fell in the middle. So if we're going to go back to the Seattle days when, you know, Russell Wilson had a lot of success, his defense was in, like, you know, top five. So, you know, I think they didn't really show me too much so far yet in the offseason as far as free agency. Hopefully they have some ideas for the draft. But that's my number one. My number two is I'm going to the Los Angeles Rams, letting my boy go, you know, one of the best corners in the league. Just struggled after that Super Bowl year. And then they came back last year and stunk it up. And I didn't see them make no moves. They let go of Jalen Ramsey. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do. But don't like it. Number three, I'm going to go with the Bucks. Tom Brady gone. The GOAT is gone. I don't know what they're going to do, man. They got Baker Mayfield. What'd you say?
They got Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you believe in Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield?
You don't like Baker? Did you play with Baker? You ain't played with no Baker.
It ain't that I don't like him. I just – Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield? All right, let's talk. Another subject. That's a big L. So them are my three big L's, and yeah, I'm interested to see what they'll do in the draft. Hopefully they can get some help. All three teams need a lot of help.
Hey, I have a question for both of you guys. You're both wide receivers. What is it like? I mean, we spoke about Mike Evans recently, and you know, you said, Brandon said, that he still believes that he's going to still be a top 10 wide receiver, sure, regardless of the quarterback change. But I wonder, going from a quarterback of Tom Brady's caliber to Baker Mayfield, no shade Baker, but he's not Tom Brady, as a wide receiver, what is the biggest adjustment that you have to make to prepare for that drastic change in the new season?
Yeah, I think for me, Jack, it's and that's a great question. You know, it's easy to talk the physical side of things, but I think the biggest adjustment is more mental, right? Prime example, I go from Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, I know it's one-on-one. He's going to throw me the ball. He trusts me. He understands my body, understands, you know, my body language at the top of the route, or if I'm getting press coverage, he understands those things. And he gets comfortable very quickly with receivers like myself. Then I go to the Miami Dolphins. I got Chad Henne, more of a robot, right? He sees 101, and we'll have like, let's say we got Trips Wright, Z-Zing, Z-Drive. So basically you got three receivers on one side, one receiver on the backside. I'm the X-Rod receiver. I'm backside. I'm one-on-one. In our meetings, we say, this is a check with me. This is a big box go route. It's not your first read, but if you have Brandon Marshall over here one-on-one, give him a chance. Jay Cutler's coming 10 times out of 10. You got the Z drive. It's third and two, third and three. He's going to stay right there, okay? He's going to be more of like, okay, my first progression, my second progression, right? So it's more so the mindset and the mentality that some of these quarterbacks have. It's like, do I trust my receivers or do I trust the system more? And the quarterbacks that I like to play with is the guys that actually puts the players first or put the players over the plays. And so that's the biggest adjustment for me, because you spend so much time, Jack, on building that chemistry, making sure that continuity is there. And when you go to another quarterback, you got to start from scratch. And that's a tough process, especially when some guys don't have that like just that football IQ, just that innate ability to understand what's going on just like that.
Yeah, I was speaking on specifically it being Tom Brady. I mean, I'm not even going to say one of the best. I feel like he's the best quarterback to ever play the game. But since day one, I remember I was actually on my way out when I left from Tampa. I was getting traded back to the Philadelphia Eagles. And when he came in, it was just like, before he even got there, he was setting up off-season workouts. He came down to Tampa. You know, he invited him out to their house. He throwing with him. He hanging out with him, eating dinner. I mean, like, just that building that camaraderie, I think, from day one was there with Tom. And, you know, to have a quarterback when you come on the field, and speaking to what Brandon said, where he already knows what the defense is going to do, where I have my mismatches at. Oh, Mike's one-on-one right here. He's 6'5". I'm going to just throw it up to him. Right. I think intangibles like that to having a quarterback makes it a lot easier. No disrespect to Baker Mayfield, but he's not in that apple or oranges. So I just think it's going to be tough, man. And they're going to have to spend a lot of time. We might see a lot of, you know, mistakes in the first year with just reading coverages. I mean, I seen last year when he came in, he actually did a good job for the Rams, but it was things I still saw last year where I was just like, he's not comfortable in that offense. So to say how it's going to be this year, I think they're going to struggle a little bit.
He said, not apples, not oranges. What fruit is he, a banana?
Sour, something sour.
A kiwi? He might be something a sour grape. Nah.
Sour grape?
Oh, you said he's a banana. He's a banana.
He's a banana.
Hey, no, but listen.
Baker the banana.
Listen, here's the cool thing about, we're talking about Baker Mayfield. We're talking about Mike Evans and that transition there from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield. The thing about Mike Evans and a receiver like that, he always produced no matter who he has. He had Jameis Winston. He had Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I love, right? I love playing with quarterbacks like that. And then obviously he had Tom Brady. And this dude is going to do something legendary. I think he's going to go into year 9 or year 10 with over 1,000 yards receiving.
I would challenge that this year, though, man, because I know it's what, 9 consecutive years of 1,000 yards, right?
Yeah, Mike Evans? Yeah, yeah.
I think this year with if Baker Mayfield is the quarterback all year, I'm gonna challenge that. I don't know if he's gonna get 1,000 with the Baker Mayfield.
Here's what I'm banking on, Jack. I'm banking on Baker Mayfield learning from his past. Every player, whether you're good, you're great, or legendary, we do one thing every single day. We walk in and we try to get better, right? Like we assess, we reassess, we reevaluate. So Baker, not only are we looking at every practice and every game, we're also looking at what have I done over the course of my career. So Baker Mayfield, understanding exactly where he's at right now, I'm sure he's sitting back and saying, okay, what can I take from playing with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr.? I went through the progressions and, you know, I felt like this was the right thing to do. I listened to the coaches, but then I had, you know, some of the best wide receivers in the game pissed off at me. So can he take from Cleveland? Can he take from the Rams and actually infuse those lessons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and also Mike Evans? I think he can. If you want to stay in the league, you have to get better. You have to evolve. And I think he's smart enough to do that. Now, will he become a really good quarterback, Ashley? That's a different conversation, right?
Who's the offensive coordinator over there now? Because Byron Leftwich is no longer there.
Great question. Right? We looked this up last week.
Ty Bowles is a defensive head coach. So yeah, I don't – who's going to fill that role, bro? So I still have to challenge you a little bit. I hear what you're saying, but I don't see who's going to play there. I mean, Bruce Arians, I mean, he's in the front office now. So is he going to
– Dave Canales. Dave Canales is the offensive coordinator there. I don't know his experience, but I mean, come on, let's move on. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a great conversation. It's a great question, but like nobody's looking for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now.
Super Bowl champions, bro. What are you talking about? 3 years? I mean,
that's a long time. You know that in ball, Jack. They don't care about what we did yesterday.
Don't compare that to the Kawhi Leonard. You know, you've been giving me a hard time about that.
Oh my goodness, bro. Bro.
Brandon, winners and losers, who you got? Yeah,
it's your time for your top three.
Losers. Yeah, and then also, you know, I got to say this because he got my team, Denver Broncos, my guy, Russell Wilson and Denver Broncos up there, and I'm glad he said I'm a nitpick there. Yeah, let's ride.
He's going to be riding this year. You think he's going to retire this year? Because it didn't work for him last year.
No, I think what's going to happen, we're going to see Let's Ride come back to life.
I don't want to see Let's Ride.
It's going to happen probably week 11, week 12.
No.
When they're sitting there 10-1 or 10-2.
Huh? Who's 10-1?
The Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. That's what you're projecting. I mean, projecting.
Because like that's why I wanted to push back on your take on the Denver Broncos and why they're on this list, because I actually think they had a great offseason. They go out there and they get Sean Payton. Check. Legendary Hall of Fame coach and play caller on the offensive side. So this whole conversation, who's going to fix Russ? I think they're going to be right where they need to be. They go get stability on the offensive line, and they make a few small moves but very powerful moves on the defensive side, because they are top five and they didn't need a lot, but they have depth now and they added more depth. So I think that the Denver Broncos had a sneaky good offseason.
You have them week 12 being 10-1. Is that what you just said? You have them week 12 being 10-1.
It could be 10-1, they could be 9-2, all of that. Yes. They're gonna get off to a hot start, and they're gonna sustain.
100%. And Let's Ride is coming back.
Okay. So here's my top three. Can we throw them up? I got Steve Bisciotti, Ravens owner. And then I'm gonna stay right there in the same building, and I'm gonna go to John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach. And then I'm gonna stay right there in Baltimore, the city of Baltimore. And it's not y'all fault. I'm not blaming you guys, but you guys gotta be thrown in here because Lamar Jackson is leaving the city. He's leaving the organization. And now you guys go from being a contender every year, or I wouldn't say contender, but a really good team. It's dangerous. And you have Lamar Jackson, MVP, one of the best to do it. And now, I mean, who's their backup quarterback? Huntley? What's his name? Huntley?
Is it Tyler?
They just got him some help. They just got Nelson Aguilar.
Huh? I mean, I love Nelson. I love Nelson. Great piece. But the city of Baltimore, Steve Bisciotti, John Harbaugh are the biggest losers this offseason. D-Jack and Ashley. Steve Bisciotti comes out and he says, I don't believe in the Deshaun Watson deal and fully guaranteed contracts. So now the valuation of your franchise is going to take a big hit. Ticket sales is going to go down.
The Raven fans in the chat want to know why they caught a stray. What'd they do?
It's not y'all. That's exactly what it is. You guys caught a stray, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are great fans. It's a great fan base. But because of those two, guys, Steve Bisciotti, the owner, and the head coach, John Harbaugh, now you guys are personally going to be affected. The city of Baltimore, we're talking about revenue going down in the hospitality space, hotels. People travel to come see the Lamar Jackson show. So that means hotels revenue increase when Lamar Jackson's in town. That means all of the bars, all of the nightclubs, all of the transportation system. Everybody gets a bag except Lamar. Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Jackson. So now you take him out of the equation, Ashley. Now everybody's going to suffer and everybody's going to get hit with a stray, unfortunately. So those are my three biggest losers this offseason right there. John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh should have, you know what he should have did, Ashley? John Harbaugh should have went in there and held out and said, you know what? If Lamar ain't getting what he wants, then I'm gone. Now you're not only going to lose Lamar Jackson, the face of the team, but you're going to lose me, who's been holding it down for almost 15 years.
It would have been nice.
He's a really good coach. Like, I mean, there's some people that push back on him and don't love his ways, but he's been there for 15 years.
He's at the end of this, at that tender, though, man. He knows that.
For sure. Now he is. What he should have did, he should have stood up. Lamar Jackson extends his career. He already extended it. He should have been fired a couple years ago. So John Harbaugh should have stood up for him.
I just want to speak on a little piece. So last year when I was playing there, towards the end of the season, we was on a playoff, push. And the owner, Steve, came in there. You know, this the week they had all the players come back from when they won the Super Bowl in 2010. And we're sitting there, we're all talking, and he made a comment. John Harbaugh made a comment. He was like, well, yeah, that's not to say if I get fired or if I'm, you know, not coaching anymore, because, you know, they were saying something about he was going to take a deal from one of these big networks and stuff like that. So it was a conversation that was kind of thrown in there. It was like, I might not be a coach no more. So it's interesting you speak on that, because like you said, he could have definitely stepped up and, you know, made a statement, but I think he knows it's kind of at the end for him as well.
Right. For sure. 100%. Whether a big network come in, Corey, or if it's Lamar Jackson going out, he's going to be out soon. Right. I mean, listen, if Lamar Jackson isn't under center, I give him 18 months. That's a year and a half. Mm. Right. 18 months. He's done. He's cooked.
So you're not a believer in Tyler Huntley?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I'm rooting for him. Always rooting for us. For sure. But we all, you know, Jack, we're going to always keep it real. Is he 80% of Lamar? I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a lot of production you're going to lose. Ain't nobody going to be scared of the Baltimore Ravens. Ray Lewis ain't walking back in the building. Ed Reed ain't walking back in the building. Okay? It's not happening. So you got to be able to play complementary football, all three phases, defense, kind of middle of the pack, offensively, middle of the pack. Special teams will probably be your best unit, right? But that's not good enough. That's not even good enough to be third in your division. It's not.
I mean, if they can get a bridge quarterback, it may sustain them. Like, they won't be a complete disarray of an organization, but they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender. They're not going to be a deep playoff contender. They're going to be like a middle of the – like a 500, right. Maybe slightly above 500, depending on the caliber of bridge QB you can get. They're not. They're going to be worse. They're not going to be like bottom of the barrel, but they're not going to be – you know, anything that they would be with Lamar Jackson. So if that's something that they're okay with, sure, go ahead and play that game if you want to.
Without Lamar Jackson, where are they finishing in that division? You got Cleveland Browns. They're retooling. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're getting more experience and a little older. The quarterback, the receiver, okay? Defensively, they're always going to be in position. And then you have this. Did I say the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, they'll probably be third. That's what I said. They're
fourth.
No.
Without Lamar Jackson? I got Cincinnati, Cleveland, Steelers, and then them.
You can hit or miss with the Steelers. You can hit or miss. I would say third, fourth, depending on how the Steelers perform. That's what I'm saying. They're not going to be a bottom-of-the-barrel team in the NFL. They're going to be a mid-level team. They're not going to be overly great. They're not going to be overly terrible. They're going to be a 500 team at best.
Okay. All right. What we got?
Yeah. All right, moving on. So actually, we're going to hop into that NIL deal conversation, right? Or AKA name, image, and likeliness. So we actually got a tweet from the Checkdown, right? Which actually ranked the top five college football earners. And you'd probably be surprised by some of the names on the list, or maybe not, right? Number one, you got Arch Manning. He's headed to Texas next year. He's the top earner, $3.7 million, right? Then you got Caleb Williams, number two. Travis Hunter, number three. You got Shador Sanders, right, at $1.5 million. Drake May at $1.5 as well. Man, you got guys like Bronny James. So he's the top earner, I think, in NIL deals, period. He's bringing in like $7 million. He got deals with Nike, Beats by Dre. DJ, I want to ask you. You were Army All-American, right? I mean, arguably got one of the best college football highlight tapes, you know, anyone would ever see.
Debatable.
If you had your choice you said debatable? That's debatable? I don't know. It's up there, though. It's up there. Now, if you had your choice of a company, because obviously this stuff wasn't around, you know, when you're in college and high school, if you had your choice of a company to partner with, who you choosing?
That's a heck of a question, man. I would go after one of the big brands, man. I would probably do like a Sprite, Coca-Cola, you know, something like that. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Coming into college, you know, a college is already going to have a Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, whatever that is. Exactly. So I think I would have liked to do an Osprey. I would have did like a drink because I love Sprite anyway. So I can pop it and drink the Sprite.
Right, be able to have some Sprite whenever you want.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah. Brandon, who you got?
Well, first I want to say big shout out to Shador Sanders. He came to House of Athlete yesterday, jumped on the TB12 table. He's down here. Little bit of vacation, little bit of work. Got his guys, his receivers out here, so they're enjoying some of the restaurants here that Ashley frequents. and they're also working their asses off. So he came in, and then he graced us with his presence, came back in the studio and sat down with Ashley and I. So that will air on the channel a little after this show ends, right? So we're excited about that, and that's what inspired this conversation in this particular segment. So stay tuned for that. So thank you guys for tapping in. I would actually do exactly what I'm doing now. I would start my own brand, okay? I'm so tired of athletes going out building, sorry, D-Jack, the Sprites of the world, the Beats by Dre's, the ESPNs, the Nikes. We have an opportunity now to cultivate and build our own audience through social media, this whole new media movement, right? We're talking about multiple platforms, omni-channel, from Instagram to TikTok. You can even throw Snapchat in there still. You have YouTube clips. You have YouTube shorts. You have Twitter, Facebook, all of those platforms. You have an opportunity to actually make more money on the media side than you do on the contract side or the deal side, right? people are making a shit ton of money. You got guys like Mr. Beast. You got guys like even Destroying. Destroying walked away from his college career, potentially having a pro career, Destroying the guy, the kicker. And he's making, and I don't want to put his business out there, but he's making millions, okay? So you have an opportunity to do that. And with the, say that again?
What are you promoting as a young kid, though? I mean,
here you go. So that's the content side. So I always say content and commerce. So that's the content. With millions of people watching you every single day, you can introduce your own brand. And that's monetizing key moments, right? T-shirts, merchandise, right? People rock with you, man. Like Shador, the Bronny James of the world. Okay, cool. Nike want to go give you, you know, millions of dollars or a couple hundred thousand dollars. I don't know what their bags are like. Okay, cool. But just imagine having a T-shirt line and selling them for $40.
I still feel like you can go do that, though. And I'm not trying to cut you off here, but let's be strategic.
Go ahead.
Get the bag from Sprite. Go create your own brand. I mean, you can still do that. I'm going to go secure this big bag from the big companies, and I'm going to still go start my own thing. I mean, you can do it all.
Don't put the horse before the carriage.
Well, see.
Oh, no, the carriage before the horse. The horse does come before the carriage. My bad.
Can we have our bloopers reel, please? What are we doing this blooper reel? What are we doing?
I said it, and then I envisioned it. And I was wait, that's normally how it goes.
I was rocking with you, though. I was rocking. I was like, yeah, that.
The carriage before the horse. The horse does come before the carriage. Okay, there you go.
I like the philosophy, but I just, you know, as a young kid coming into it, that was the question. Who would you want to... You know, who would you want the NIL deal to be? I mean, the deal to be by. So for me, I would go after the big brands because guess what? Now I can financially get stable and the deals, I mean, it might be a year, it might be 3 years. I mean, however I structure it. But hey, say I wanted to just only have it for 1 year. I get that bag. Secure the bag. All these young dudes, when we was growing up, we couldn't secure the bag at that age. We probably did illegally. I'm just going to be real. But at the end of the day, I mean, we got to take risks coming from where we grew up and how we was raised. We're going to take risks. So now legally you can do it. Go get that bag real quick and then set up something.
Jack, you know, every time we talk the business around sports, you and I always bump heads. It's so funny.
Think about it this way.
He always gets mad at me. He's like, don't work that way.
Think about it this way. It was easier, when I say easier, I'm putting that in quotations, for you to start your own brand because you were going off of the foundation you built already within sports as an athlete. If you're a young kid and you're just entering that world, you need a foundation unless you come from a situation that's already lucrative. Okay. You know, if you have, you know, you come from a generation of athletes, you know, it may be easier for a Bronny James than it would be for a no-name kid coming out of a D1 program. Everyone's situation's different, but it always helps when you have a foundation to build on already.
And they do have a foundation. That's what I'm saying, right? Because of social media and its reach, it's all about eyeballs.
Not all college kids have the same foundation, though. Not everyone's a Bronny James.
Yeah, but listen, it's different levels to it. But everybody has a foundation now. Even the people who may not be athletes or some type of artists or entertainers, right? Because we have social media. That's all it's about. How many eyeballs can we get on our product? How many people can we reach? So when you take a Bronny or you take a Shador, or if you take a high school athlete that may only have 10,000, sometimes the people, the micro influencers, not the macro. Macro's big, micro smaller. Mm-hmm. The micro influencers are more influential than some of the star athletes that have hundreds of thousands of followers or millions of thousands of followers, because those 10,000 that you have really rock with you. So your conversion and your numbers may even be just as impressive because you have a true following. So all I'm saying is this.
What are the two things that it takes to build a brand, though?
What does it take? It takes a product?
No. Outside of that, what are the two things that you need to build a brand? You need time.
Yep.
And you need what? Capital.
Okay.
If you don't have capital, then you need to go ahead and get that capital from somewhere. And again, if you come from a situation where capital's not an issue, you need to build that capital while also building your own brand so you can eventually make that transition to where your brand is your only thing.
So there's 20 different platforms out there where you can launch your own products. And rev share off of, and you don't have to put any capital up there. It's just the information. Is it accessible? Is the platform available to some of these athletes? More so from an understanding. They don't know it exists, but there's so many, these products, shirts, T-shirts, you can go out there, put it on your website, and pre-sell it. We're talking about a website. How much does it cost to build a website? It's $100. It's $200.
Right, but you also, there's nothing also wrong, like as DJack would know, as you know, what's something a smart financial advisor will tell you? Diversify your portfolio. So you can also, you can build your own brand, but what DJack is saying, why would you not take the sure thing, the immediate thing right away, and that's X amount of money
from an existing brand,
and then put that back into your own brand.
See, that's why me and DJack always get into it.
Hold on, let me ask you a question now. We need some order in this goddamn court. Yeah. this is a serious question, B. I really, every time I ask you a question, you always answer it. But I'm going to ask it to you, and then I want you to say, in your mind, ask that same question to a young kid that's at that point now where they're coming up and they're getting all these deals. Would you rather start your own brand, company, whatever, or go to it and sign with a company that's big? I grew up like in Skittles, Sour Boy, all the bull crap that they saying all this stuff about now. Right. What would you rather do? And let's just be honest. Like, come on, bro. You grew all up right. How we grew up. What would you rather do?
Do the right thing and invest in your own brand.
Come on.
So here's the thing.
You overcomplicating this, bro.
No, you guys are just missing it. You guys are missing it. I'm telling you. So every generation is supposed to be smarter, supposed to be wiser, supposed to be better, right? The traditional deal is it's called captured value. So captured value is I'm an athlete, so I get paid off of my product, right? So that means Nike, I'm gonna give you $25,000, I'm gonna give you $50,000, I'm gonna give you $100,000 a year, okay? Because I'm gonna give you 10 touchdowns a year, all right? That's capture value. Creative approach is going out there and partnering. That's 50 Cent and Vitamin Water. That's Flo Rida and Celsius. He just got an $84 million check. We're talking about equity. You got to get wiser. You got to get better. Stop taking these small little bags when there's a bigger bag on the other side if you're more strategic and you actually listen to the Jay-Z's of the world. You listen to the 50 Cent's of the world. Listen to the Snoop Dogg's of the world. The generations before you is giving you guys the game. There's the blueprint out there. So you are talking about, when you're talking about, here's the thing. This is what I'm saying, dude. Okay, so because Ashley said I'm making it more complex. Hold on, watch this. I'm about to give it to you right here. So you do what Des Bryant did. So you take the Sprite deal, you take the Nike deal or the Jordan deal, but under your terms, Bronny James, under your terms, Shador Sanders, what does that mean? I'm not giving you guys exclusivity on. They call it mitts. They call it boots for shoes. They call it, apparel. And then they get into the different categories and the different genres of these things. So you say, look, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to leave this open. Dez Bryant made over $10 million off of his brand. Julian Edelman did the same. Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch did the same. But if you go out and you give them the full rights to everything that you do, and from an apparel standpoint and a fashion standpoint, now you're missing out on the opportunity when you score 4 or 5 touchdowns to drop a simple t-shirt and sell 1,000 SKUs and bring in 150,000. So you actually make more money off of your key moments in your career if you do it that way, then if you just take, Nike, I'm signed with Nike, and they give you $50,000, $100,000. Makes no sense.
You're missing multiple steps. You're talking about Des Bryant.
First of all, I did it.
Hold on. But you're missing multiple steps here. You're talking Des Bryant. You're talking Julian Edelman. You're talking yourself. You all capitalize off of your notoriety as athletes within a sport. That was your foundation. We're talking about college kids.
They have
We're
it.
Talking
Ashley,
about,
that's
hold on.
It. No, no, We're no, because you're missing it.
No, because not all college kids are the same. Just like not all athletes have the same popularity. Obviously, the NFL is a much larger platform than college. But what DJack and I are saying is you take the bag that's guaranteed right now. I'm going to give you X amount of money to promote my product. And then you put that back into what you're saying so that one day when you are a professional and you're going ahead
Ashley,
and scoring touchdowns and doing all
these things. Ashley, there's several ways you can go about it. No, listen, there's several ways. Because that's the easiest way and that's the traditional
way.
How is
it the easy way? It's a smart way.
No, it's not. It's the easiest way and it's the traditional way because you're talking about we're capitalizing off of the notoriety that we already have. There's high school athletes right now. There's college athletes right now that have more followers than me and and D-Jack combined.
Not everybody, Shador, though.
Okay, now let's go to the other athletes. So when you're say the other athletes that may not have a Shador Sanders following or Bronny James following, so they should take that because it's a bird in the hand, right? That's
no,
what we're
I'm
saying.
Taking that. I'm saying take they're that, and if you want to go ahead and implement that into your own brand.
They're not getting it. That's my point, though. They're not getting it. So what we're talking about is, think about it. So these athletes that may not have a Shador or Bronny James type following, you exactly. think, what type of bags do you think they're
from?
Getting?
Where's the following coming from?
The best point there.
Where's the following coming
probably
from? It's coming really from their it. Product.
Not all Gatorade no. athletes have a Bronny James following, but they have enough of a following where Gatorade wants to sign them to an NIL. Take
how
that
much
money
is it?
And
how much is it? How much is it?
I don't know.
How much is it? And what type of deal, how are they structuring these deals? If you post this, we're going to give you X percent of everybody you convert. Some of these deals aren't even cash deals. Some of these deals are just
they're equity deals.
Some of them are in high school and college.
Hold on, look what
bigger brands.
When you have brands now are offering the option to not pay per post, not pay per partnership, but are offering equity, especially if they're startup
Smaller
companies.
Startup.
Look at what Flo Rida did with Celsius. He said, you know what? Don't pay me to promote your product. Give me 1%. And his backing of that was like what, $10 million when they went public. You can also get paid in equity.
Let me put it this way.
Can I speak a little bit?
Go ahead, Jack.
I understand what you're saying, B, but I think that needs to be the conversation. Okay, yeah, you can start your own brand and, you know, create this and create that. But guess what? You know what? I can go to the Sprites. You really want me? Bron James. I'm LeBron James' son. I have this big following. You know what? Instead of giving me X, Y, Z, I want some equity in the company. I like that pitch more than anything. Now, if that's what you're telling these young kids to do, then yes, I salute you.
No, you're talking about starting immediately off the ground, running your own brand, and not everybody has the following or capital to do that.
Ashley, first off, let's put it this way. You are totally missing it, and you're 100% wrong, right? Let me tell you why.
Okay.
So you mean to tell me the biggest influencers of the world are who? They're YouTubers. They're TikTokers. What did they start with? How are they able to make more money than DeSean Jackson or Brandon Marshall? Where did they start with? They started with a damn cell phone. Creating content. What did I say? Content and commerce. Y'all not listening to me. They go out there, they create content. They attract brands. So they're able to ask for equity. They're able to get those bigger deals. And what else are they able to do? They're able to launch their own products. Now, all you got to do is athletes. The problem is, and this is what I always say, athletes need to.
I got
to
get on you, B.
Hold on one second. Let me finish this point because y'all keep interrupting me. Y'all not listening because y'all missing it. Y'all missing the bag. Athletes, the whole thing is this. Athletes need to start acting like influencers and not like athletes.
Bro,
athletes get a fucking little bag.
They're not just regular athletes, bro. These kids are already huge. These YouTubers didn't have nothing. They had to start it without nothing, bro. These kids that are getting NIL deals now, they already are freaking the world. It's not like I'm just coming to something I don't have nothing. I already have something to show. I'm a hell of an athlete. What are you talking about, bro? You're talking about an influencer on YouTube. They had to start with nothing, bro. They had to build a following up. I'm an athlete. I already done bought out. I got all these followers. I got all these viewers because I'm a baller on the field. Now it's time for me to go get the NIL deal. I'm going to go to the bag. What are you talking about?
Not only that, but you bring up TikTokers, and TikTokers are able to amplify and elevate their brands because of what? They're getting cash, capital from...
Where did they start? Your question was where did they start?
That's a small... Of all the people on TikTok, there's only a small percentage of people who are actually making money from it, and that's because brands are investing in them and their TikTok following. We're talking about NIL kids who don't necessarily have a following. Not all of them have a following.
Then how are they making money if they don't have a following?
Because you're being a collegiate athlete and having that following.
If you actually listen, if you actually stop cutting me off,
okay, go ahead.
And listen to what every time I try to get into the reason why y'all keep cutting me off and not listening.
Okay, go ahead.
You're not listening.
I'm gonna say
content and commerce. Let's break it down into two different conversations. Let's first talk about the guys who have a big following: Bronny James and Shador Sanders. How do we monetize our likeness? There's several ways you can do that. You can take the Sprite deal. You can take the Beats by Dre deal. You can take the Nike deal. But don't give all exclusive rights to them because you want to be able to monetize your key moments. Nike is not going to drop a Shador or Under Armour. I think he's with Under Armour. Under Armour is not going to drop a Shador Sanders t-shirt when he goes out there and he has four touchdowns, right? You have how many kids on a University of Colorado's campus? How many kids will buy a t-shirt? Nike's not looking at those opportunities. You know why? Because Nike is investing in LeBron James. Nike is worrying about their top five athletes on the football court, on the football field, in a basketball court. So there's several ways that a big time college athlete or high school athlete can monetize their likeness, but don't give up exclusive rights. You're talking about audience. Well, what do you need? Well, no, YouTubers and TikTokers, they have audience, they have followers. When these kids post a highlight reel, it goes viral all the damn time. That's a media kit. That's a media package. We're talking about impressions. That's what they're looking for. These brands are looking for impressions. If I hit 100 million people this month, then that means if my conversion rate's at 2%, then that means I'm going to convert X amount of people, which turns into X amount of dollars. But who's giving them the game? You know who's giving them the game? Jay-Z is, 50 Cent is. Are y'all listening? And I ain't going to just... I'm a land a plane here because I obviously this is falling on deaf ears with these with Ashley and Jack and what? I don't know where you're at here, Corey. And then on the other end, before I land the plane, we're talking about the kids who don't have a platform, right? Or they may not be the Shador Sanders or the Bronny James. They have a following. They do have a following. They're on YouTube. They're on Twitch. They have thousands of people following them. And if they don't have a following, then who's going to give them a name, image, likeness deal? Nobody. Mm-hmm. So you guys can continue to chase traditional deals if you want to and continue to be like all these other athletes. Kyrie Irving. Hey, you say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. Now we're taking your deal away. OBJ is litigating with Nike right now. He's trying to recoup his money because they owe him $5, $6 million. But because he got hurt, now they're saying we're not going to give you your money. So keep believing in these big brands all you want, athletes. If you do that, you're going to find yourself in a terrible situation. Act like influencers.
I actually have a follow-up question for you guys, right? So, like...
There's more?
There actually is more. It was a heated exchange between y'all.
It ain't a heated exchange.
This backup, you know, this follow-up question makes sense with everything. Now, like, these NIL deals, they're obviously helping these athletes financially, but do you guys feel that this is helping them on the court or on the field, right? Because they're touching a lot of money now earlier on in their careers. Is it kind of taking away that incentive from these athletes? Like, DJ, I'll ask you first. Is it taking out that hunger maybe that some of these athletes might have had earlier on in their career?
I think it's a gift and a curse, man. Honestly, and the reason why I say this is because the hunger, you know what I'm saying, that back against the wall mentality, I feel like a lot of these kids, if they're able to get them type of funds up front, you know what I'm saying, they might string off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? When I was in college, you know, I had to grind for everything. You know, the little stipend we got was $1,400 every time they paid us. So whatever that was, by the time I paid rent and had food on campus, I mean, there wasn't really no real money. So now these kids are able to get millions of dollars. They're able to go, you know, buy these designer clothes, jewelry, you know what I'm saying, cars, you know. So it's like the things that I really want to work hard for, it's like I'm getting it too early now. So it's like, right, if you don't have the right mindset and you're not being coached and you don't have real people to care for you in your life, easily you can lose that fast. Because guess what? I've already got it. Already witnessed what it feels like to get millions. So now by the time it's time to go to the NFL, that the hunger might not be the same, man. So for me, I definitely think it's a gift and a curse. If they don't have the right foundation behind them that's backing them, they can easily blow it all.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I mean, not only are you representing yourself as an athlete and as an individual, but now with these NIL deals, you're now also representing a brand or multiple brands. So the level of responsibility is different. And, you know, you have to remember, we're talking about college kids, you know, ages of 18 to 22, depending on when your birthday is. So you're asking young kids, a lot of the time, whose minds are still developing and decision-making abilities are still developing, and, you know, to now be full-fledged adults, because you're not just, like I said, representing yourself, you're representing brands or multiple brands, you're now a walking enterprise. So it's a different level of responsibility that comes with it. Some people are able to rise to the occasion and some aren't. That goes back to your foundation, like D-Jack was saying, and it goes back to the people you surround yourself with. And, you know, I say this often. I said it when we spoke about the Ja Morant situation. You know, the ideology of assets and liabilities and everybody can't come is not something that people learn easily. And sometimes it takes you trial and error to learn that. But when you are in a situation where there is a lot riding on you, you don't have that leisure ability to kind of learn that, you know, with trial and error. You got to have to learn that quickly. And, you know, it just adds a different level of expectation. So it makes it more complicated and it makes it a little bit harder in that sense. I don't know if it impacts, you know, their sport and their performance on the field or on the court, but it definitely puts a little bit more weight on their shoulders for sure.
So D-Jack, I know you're about to roll here, but before you go, just to finish this the first part of this conversation, what do you think happens quickly with Lamar Jackson of Baltimore Ravens? How does this end before you sign out?
Man, honestly, I don't see him playing for the Baltimore Ravens next year. Even if no team trades for him or whatever, I know him personally, and I don't think he's going to go out and play on that deal. So if I can say it right now, I hope he gets traded. I hope he can go play, because I know he's a baller. But I know how these teams play, man. And if the Baltimore Ravens don't receive what they want for him, I know they're going to try to keep him under that franchise deal. And I don't think he's going to honor, and I don't think he'll go on that field and play another game for them.
Okay, and the last thing that I would say before you sign off, D-Jack, this is the third conversation that we've had like this, or fourth. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the weekend. I'm going to process everything. I'm going to get all my notes down, all my thoughts down. And next time you and I are together, whether it's paper route or on I Am Athlete, you better have your shit together, because I'm coming at you, bro. For real, I'm tired of this conversation. Your ass, I'm tired of y'all.
Much love to y'all, man. I appreciate y'all having me, man. Y'all enjoy the show. Hey, y'all got a battle going on, man.
I'm hot. I'm over here sweating. I'm over here sweating. The chat hot right now. They saying B. Marshall know what he talk about, this and that. All right, wait till next week. We're going to have a whole show on this. Yeah. Y'all better be ready.
Bye. Right,
thanks for being on with us.
Damn, well, I'm over here sweating. I got really hot. I'm tired of this. I'm tired. Like, Ashley, like you... I'm done. Let's move on.
All right.
How about we
hop into the FanDuel Sportsbook, huh? Y'all watching NBA basketball tonight?
Before we do that, No. Let's do that last. Let's do some Factor Foolish. Factor Foolish? Go to Factor Foolish.
All right. We'll go to Factor
Foolish. I need something fun real quick. I love gambling.
Let's light in the spirits.
Yeah, right.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, according to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, right, Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy said he's absolutely open to a reunion with running back Ezekiel Elliott. He says, I think you always got to keep the door open with a guy like that, right? So for our first Factor Foolish, Ashley, I'll start with you. Ezekiel Elliott returns to the Cowboys next season. Factor Foolish.
I'm going to say facts. I want to manifest it.
Okay, that's good.
So that's what I'm doing. I still think that Ezekiel Elliott has a place on the Dallas Cowboys. He's obviously not running back number one, RB number one anymore, but I still think he's a battering ram. I still think he can go ahead and do the dirty work for you. I don't know if Tony Pollard is going to be able to withstand all of the carries that Zeke did in his heyday. They're a different type of running back. Their body's built different. Pollard is more of an elusive, you know, running back slash wide receiver. That's where his bread and butter is. Zeke is the guy who will go ahead and pound through that hole when he has to. He's not as fast as he once was. He's not as explosive as he once was, but he's strong. And I still think you need to have that duo. So I'm going to go ahead and say fact, just because I want to manifest it. And I still think that there's a place for him on the Dallas Cowboys.
We shall see. What you think, Brandon?
This is foolish. I think as an athlete, sometimes you need to be in a situation like this that kind of like resets your career, jump starts like the next phase of your career. I think it was this year six or maybe going into year seven. This is the time where they say a running back is on a drastic decline. I don't believe that. I think Ezekiel Elliott can still come in and play, but a fresh start is sometimes better, right? Mm-hmm. You get comfortable when you're with the same organization for a long time. I mean, you walk in, you have the same parking spot, you know, your locker's the same. You know, they know how to lay out all your stuff. They wash your clothes. You walk into the cafeteria. You eat the same food. They know your order. It's already ready for you. It's time for Ezekiel Elliott to break up the monotony. He needs a new challenge. And I see Ezekiel Elliott going into a situation where he contributes in a major way on a contender. Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back, Gilmore, you got to give him his number back. That's all I'm saying, bro. Right. Like,
oh, he already it's
you
over
need a,
then.
You need a plan B.
Then you know it's not coming. That's
you
why
need
it's
a plan
all
B.
Oh,
wow. You can't break wow. up 2-1-4 like that.
They gave it to him.
That's what he has. He has 21 now.
Well, Ezekiel said he wants to go back to 15. I think.
Okay, so then there you go. Yeah. Listen, 15. We'll just give that number to him.
It's over. Yeah. No. That's disrespectful. There's no way Ezekiel Elliott can walk back into the Cowboys locker room and see another man in his jersey.
No, he said he wanted 15, though. Yeah,
because that's what he wore in college.
That's
he wore
15. His college
yeah, he said that when?
On
yeah,
Twitter,
he,
I
yeah,
believe.
Yeah, he tweeted that. He tweeted, he said he wanted, he'd go
that's,
back.
That's on a new situation, not with the Dallas Cowboys.
Why wouldn't he take 15 on Dallas Cowboys if he can come back to a situation he's familiar with?
Nah, that's
I feel like I just can't see him in an Eagles jersey.
I can't see
you remember
him in any jersey
right?
that is not a Cowboys jersey. Yeah. I'm manifesting it. I'm saying yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, next one, guys. Jalen Hurts is deserving of a contract extension. Fact or foolish?
Fact. I mean, I feel like it's self-explanatory. He took the Eagles to a Super Bowl. Mm. I mean, it's not any deeper than that. I think that this Philadelphia Eagles team has just begun to scratch the surface of the things that they can do. Yeah. And again, he took them to a Super Bowl. So it's kind of.
Do you think that contract happens this offseason or is it next offseason?
I'll say next offseason. Yeah. I think if it was going to happen this offseason, we may have already started to hear rumblings about it. Mm. But I think they're going to pay him without a doubt. Yeah. I don't think that it's going to be, you know, a battle like it is with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think they are going to pay him. I'm willing to say next season, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens in the 11th hour before the season starts.
Mm-hmm. Fact or foolish, Brandon?
It's fact, but it may be premature. And I say that because when a guy finishes year three and they're back at the table, that bag is a little lighter, right? They try to get a hometown discount. They try to get you to take a deal that is a team-friendly deal. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing shapes out. You know, they may have started this with the thought process of it dragging on for a year or so, right? Like, let's start these conversations now, and then probably towards the end of this year, right after the season, we'll have a deal in place. This is going to be a complex deal, right? A lot of teams love this blueprint, this the model of, you know, let's build around a young quarterback on his rookie deal, because that allows you to invest in every other piece. When you do that, historically, teams, they don't win as much. Look at Russell Wilson in the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson is on his rookie deal. He goes to the Super Bowl. He has all these pieces around him. Then they pay the quarterback. Now you lose some of these guys that helped you get there before. So teams are looking at this, so this will be interesting. So it's fact, but you know, it may be a little premature.
Yeah, yeah. All right, next one. This player's name, they've been coming up in news, you know, a lot lately. OBJ is ready to pick up where he left off. You know, last game he played in was the Super Bowl, got the dub, and he was having a bit of a run in the playoffs kind of leading up to the Super Bowl. So is OBJ ready to pick it up where he left off? Ashley, who you got? What you got? Fact or foolish?
It pains me to say foolish, only because I don't know. It was worrisome for me that there were teams apprehensive about signing him this season because he wasn't as healthy as maybe he and his team were leading on. And that's to be expected. I mean, another major injury for a wide receiver, you know, who's 30 years old. He's had multiple injuries, some really major ones in his career. I just don't know if it's feasible to expect at this point for him to be the same explosive OBJ that he has been and that we have seen for an entire season at this point. I feel like at this stage in the game, there's always going to be something with him. I still think that he is going to be a huge asset to any team that picks him up. He's not wide receiver number one. He's wide receiver number two, three, depending on what situation he's in. But if you ask me if he's ready to pick up where he left off in the Super Bowl Rams, I don't know. I find it hard to get back to that after sustaining another major injury. I still think he's a great athlete, incredible wide receiver. I just don't know if he's a number one option anymore.
Right. I will say this is a fact. It's fact for me, but it's a two-part answer. He picks up where he left off halfway through the year, right? So right away in camp, the first couple of games, you know, you may see him slip at the top of his route. You may see, a drop ball that just seems unusual for OBJ, right? Once he gets going, you'll probably see him around week five, week six, hit that mid-season stride and be exactly where he was before. We thought the same way when he was in Cleveland and when he went to the Rams, right? He's done. He didn't have a touchdown, or he had like one touchdown in, 16 games, something crazy like that. Soon as he gets to the Rams, two touchdowns, a touchdown, two touchdowns again.
Yeah.
Like, he went off.
Yeah.
And that's what OBJ needs. It is exactly what you said. He needs to be in a situation where he's not carrying a load.
Right.
He's not the number one guy, but that doesn't mean that he's not the guy, right?
Right.
You just need some help. And I think in this era of football, when you have another wide receiver on the other side that can easily go for 100 and something yards, or a tight end or a running back, it makes it easier for everyone else, and it makes your team extremely dangerous. You saw this with the Philadelphia Eagles. They have two receivers over 1,000. You saw this with the Miami Dolphins. They have two receivers over 1,000. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a couple more examples out there, but those are the two that comes to mind. So this is fact for me, but it will take a couple of games for him to hit mid-season stride.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing him back on the field. All right, next one, guys. 49ers have a better shot at a winning season with Brock Purdy at quarterback over Trey Lance. Fact or foolish?
I say fact.
49ers have a better shot.
And I say fact only because Brock Purdy is the most recent quarterback that they've had. You know, mm-hmm. Trey Lance missed an entire season. And, mm-hmm. you know, before that, it was Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. So he hasn't really had an opportunity to play with this offense. He hasn't had an opportunity to go through trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot to expect from him to come into a situation and automatically start producing wins. Obviously, the 49ers have a team where it's input XQB into the situation and we'll figure it out. But if we're going, you know, a comparison between the two, I think Brock Purdy starts the season. I think it would be ideal for him to start the season while Trey Lance is getting his reps with the offense, the first team, you know, in practice and things like that, and implement him slowly into the equation. But I don't know if you can go ahead and expect him to win the entire season after really having no experience with this team for two seasons now.
Yeah,
I'm going to go fact here as well. I think Purdy is a special talent.
Super special, yeah.
Yep, and some people may say it's premature, maybe too early, but I don't even look at, you know, his arm talent. I don't look at the football IQ. I'm looking at the flair, the moxie, the flash, and all of that. When you go in, when you go out there in your first start, and I don't even know, maybe he was called in. I think Garoppolo went down, he came in, mm-hmm. and he threw like two touchdowns, and like his celebration, the fist pump, the guns, doing all of that, like, that's special. It takes a lot of confidence. I think we always talk about this offline, but like, life in sport is 80% mental. So when you have that type of mindset, you have that type of confidence, it says a lot about you. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. And then obviously the play proved that he's more than capable of playing in this league. I just think he's special. So this is fact for me, but it is going to be interesting. Like, Trey Lance, he ain't just rolling over, right?
No,
he's working his ass off right now. And so camp, he has the advantage right now because Brock Purdy might not even be healthy for camp, right? Mm-hmm. Or let's say the off season. So Trey Lance is going to get all of those reps. Trey Lance, if he doesn't come back better, that's on him. This is his fault. There should be a real conversation this offseason in camp, who's going to be the guy, right? If he's a true competitor, if he's really taking advantage of this offseason.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a good one next, guys. So the 2020 quarterback class, and before I finish the statement, I'm just going to read off some of the names in that class. You got Joe Burrow, who was the number one overall pick. You got Tua Tagovailoa. He was taken at number 5. You got Justin Herbert. He was taken at number 6. And then you got Jalen Hurts, who was taken in the second round, 54th overall that year. The 2020 quarterback class will prove to be one of the best in NFL history. Fact or foolish?
This is going to – I'm going to say foolish here. You know, I'm not going to go too deep on the conversation we had around name, image, likeness. It's so funny because I opened up my Instagram account right here, and I'm looking at Pro Football Focus, and they're looking at Anthony Richardson at his pro day, and the kid is like kind of showboating on this waggle pass, this keeper. He did a fake keep left, went right, and threw a dagger. But it's how he did it. Like, if y'all go to Pro Football Focus, like, that's not – the fundamentals. He's playing around. Then he goes out there and does a backflip. I absolutely love that. And that's why, like, a guy like that, he makes damn near $300,000 a month off of this name, image, likeness thing. But sometimes you put the fame before the game. And that's what scares me when it comes to this era of athlete, right? We sat down with Shador, and he's focused. He's locked in. I don't think he's one of those guys that's putting the fame before the game. He understands keeping the main thing. Some of these guys are lost. They're just all about the money. So I'm going to say foolish here. There's a lot of work to be done. And look, they may prove me wrong later.
Who you got, Ashley?
In NFL history, I mean, I haven't seen enough to go ahead and, I mean, to make that assessment. So I'm going to say foolish just because there's not enough information there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joe Burrow obviously has had one hell of a career thus far. Tua's been a little bit of a question mark. We're still kind of waiting to see what that manifests into. Jalen Hurts obviously went ahead and brought the Eagles to the Super Bowl. You always wonder if he can go ahead and get back there. I just don't think there's enough for me to go ahead and make this fact. I think there's a lot of talent that came out of this draft for sure. But I'm just going to say foolish because I can't make that assessment right
and then,
now.
And so. then really quickly, this is a good one, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but 1993.
Like, last time I checked, none of them have rings, so.
Right. But here's, listen to this, Ashley. In 1993, you had John Elway, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, Ken O'Brien, and Todd Blackledge. 2004, you had Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not going to go back to 57. You want to go back to 1957?
If you want to. I wasn't around.
1971. But... Then you go to 2005, you have Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Castle, Kyle Orton, 1987, some Hall of Famers here. Anyone, I don't want to bore you guys here. 1973, 2012, you got Russell Wilson, you got Robert Griffin III, flamed out, Ryan Tannehill, Nick Foles, not excited about that draft class. 1998, you had Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf, he flamed out. I mean, look, if they go out there and produce,
for sure,
they could easily, it's not that hard. I think the one that stood out to me is 1983.
That's why I just said it's too soon for me to make that assessment. Right. Nobody has really done anything yet. I mean, you've had a couple of Super Bowl appearances in here. You've had a couple of record-breaking seasons here, but nothing that's history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that solidifies you in history. So I'm gonna say foolish for now. Okay.
I like yours 2020, though, but go ahead.
Yeah, got some potential there. We'll see how they pan out. All right, last one, guys. Bill Belichick adds another Super Bowl to his resume before retiring. Fact or foolish?
It's not going
to be without Brady.
It's not going to be with Mac Jones, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I think it's more than possible, but he needs a quarterback. Right. And listen, no shade to Mac Jones, Mac and Cheese, whatever you want to call him. He's not that guy. He's not the guy. I know he was supposed to be the second coming of Tom Brady, and that was, you know, all the whispers. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, some people were saying that when he got drafted, that Bill Belichick found his successor and all that, blah, 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 blah. He's not that guy.
Dang.
So I think that until they find the guy, it's a no for me. So
the way I'll answer this question is this way. If Bill Belichick goes out there and gets Lamar Jackson, he'll win not only one Super Bowl, but multiple.
They already
Super
said they
Bowls.
Don't want him.
And that's what I wanted to get to, right? Where that's foolish for you guys to go out there and say you don't want Lamar Jackson, which farther
proves
what's going on behind the scenes with the owners in the league right now. And it's not about Lamar Jackson. They're really just trying to control the market because we just talked about Joe Burrow. We just talked about Justin Herbert. You brought up Tua, right? Like, these are the quarterbacks that's going to follow. If Lamar Jackson gets $230 million guaranteed, $250 million guaranteed, what do you think Joe Burrow's going to get? So this is a big deal right now. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I actually sit back and wait. Let me see how – go ahead, Joe. Let me see what you get. And let me see how y'all treat Joe, because then I'm going to use all of that to strengthen my stance and my argument.
He already knows how they're going to treat him.
And that's going to make the NFL look really bad.
It's insane, though, when you actually sit back and think about this and put fandom aside and put the talk of the agent aside. And let's just pretend Lamar Jackson is just a shadow quarterback. We don't know who he is. We're in a study right now, right? We're doing an experiment. 26-year-old MVP athletic quarterback is on the market. And the New England Patriots, who once had the GOAT, Tom Brady, multiple Super Bowl appearances, multiple rings, has the opportunity to just sit down and have a conversation with ex-quarterback, 26-year-old MVP athletic quarterback. Bill Belichick, the genius that he is, sees that this quarterback, ex-quarterback, not Lamar Jackson, just ex-quarterback, is out there. And he says, nah, I'm good. I got Mac Jones. It makes no sense. Right. It makes no sense. Especially, like, it doesn't make sense.
Especially when it's only when you only have to give up two first rounders. Like, that's it. That's not crazy. We've seen other guys, other positions go for more, right? So it like you said, it makes no sense. It's idiotic, especially when you know your back is against the wall. When you know everybody's looking at you like, yo, Tom did it without you. Can you do it without him? So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Now, before we go, though, we got to hop in the FanDuel Sportsbook, right? We got to give these people some locks. So there's not.
Wait, Corey, get into that, last time I checked, I think the 76ers won last night, right?
What that mean?
Because Brandon was like, oh, Luka's going to go crazy. And he's not – Embiid, it don't matter if Embiid's on the floor. Who cares what Embiid does? Last time I checked, the 76ers won last night, right?
They did.
I just want to put that out there. That's all.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Just want to put that out there.
We ain't hit a lot of basketball.
Just want to
– How the hell does the Dallas Mavericks start at fourth, being fourth place in the Western Conference before Kyrie, and now they find themselves in the 11th position.
Corey, what did I say?
Did you say something?
When this trade happened and Brady said, oh, they're a shoo-in, Western Conference finalists, they're going to be there. What did I say? I said, Luka and Kyrie do not have enough time to learn how to play with each other. Mm. There are contrasting issues that they do not have enough time to figure out how to gel into one tandem.
Seed.
We didn't see that coming.
They're not even like, come on, they go from potentially being a top seed to not in the play-in.
Sheesh.
Can we fact check Ashley's take?
We don't need a fact check it. We all remember.
No, do you remember, Corey?
I remember disagreeing with somebody, so it must have just been Ashley.
That Luka likes to have the ball in his hand shot clock. Kyrie takes a part of that shot clock to get set to go ahead and make his shot. He's not a spot up kind of shooter. That's not his game. They need to figure out how to meet each other in the middle.
They have not done it.
There's not enough time there.
Luka's a facilitator too. So I really thought it was going
to
work.
It's an issue. There's not enough time to figure it out. So just want to add that to the record.
All right, Corey, I got $100, man. I got $100. I got $100 for FanDuel today.
Well, look, you don't have that many games to bet on tonight, but there is one really good matchup, and it's the reigning Eastern Conference Final Champions Boston Celtics, and they're actually headed to Milwaukee to face the Bucks. So, Ashley, I wanted to ask you, though, who you got in this game, Bucks or Celtics?
Let me go ahead and look up current win streaks and things like that.
While she's looking up the win streaks, Bucks won 1-1. I would like to take my wager from 50 to 100 bucks. I love Jason Tatum on the over. Last time they played, Corey, what did he drop, like 40?
41.
41 points. Jaylen Brown, what's going on with Jaylen Brown? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? I don't know. But I do like him to go over on rebounds. Boston Celtics, they're going to cover the spread. I like the Boston Celtics covering the spread. Ashley keeps talking about them being some type of dynasty. She's not saying dynasty.
I didn't say dynasty.
But when you talk about who's the top teams in the league and who's going to be here to stay, who's here to stay, like you keep talking about the Boston Celtics. Well, let's see. And then I'm taking the under on points. Ashley keeps talking about, oh, things change when we hit the playoffs.
They do.
Oh, defense matters.
It does.
The bench matters.
It does.
So this is going to be a playoff environment. Mm-hmm. And if this is a playoff environment, I expect two teams that play really well on the defensive side to lock down on defense. So I'm taking the under here. And, Corey, the only thing I need to adjust here, I have $100. I didn't do my usual spend at Starbucks this week. On coffee, I'm cutting back. I'm into my electrolytes. The Celsius has got me where I needed to be, so I'm not doing as much getting my caffeine through Starbucks. So I got $50 extra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you please increase that from $50 to $100? Did you see the win streak?
Yeah. So right now the Bucks are on a 2-game win streak, and Boston actually lost one against the Wizards the other night. It was a score of 130 to 111. I'm going to roll with the Bucks in this one. Is it at Milwaukee?
It's at Milwaukee.
Oh, I'm definitely rolling with the Bucks in this one.
Hey, they're fighting for that number one spot.
Don't you owe me 10 bucks and glasses?
Yes, Brandon.
So you want to do a side bet? You want to do 10?
I'm not betting you anymore with games.
10 bucks. 10 bucks. You
okay,
lost 10
I'll
bucks.
Do $10.
Yeah. So I want you to get your bet back. $10 on the side.
Okay, let the Bucks win?
Yeah, and I got the Celtics.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, hop on the FanDuel app.
You're done betting.
play that same game parlay we just cooked up, right? So the app is safe, it's secure, it's easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you win, you will get paid fast. It will be in your account by the end of the game. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, overs and unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into action at any time during the game with live betting, and combine multiple bets for the same game in a same game parlay, and try out same game parlay plus. So download FanDuel app today or head to FanDuelApp.com/IAA and make every moment count. We're going to be right back after this disclaimer. Disclaimer: 21 plus in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP. Louisiana, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit www.mahelpline.org/problem-gambling. Massachusetts, visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org. Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. New York, 1-800-522-4700. Wyoming, or visit www.1800gambler.net. West Virginia.
So, Ashley.
Yeah.
I know we got to end the show here, but I just want to say this to everybody in the chat, everybody who watched, everybody who will watch. Ashley and D-Jack, they won a battle, but they did not win the war. Okay, this whole conversation around name, image, likeness, Shador and Bronny, should they take the bag, should they not take the bag? It's not over, okay? So, Corey, if you can you create a segment next week to give me an opportunity to get my get back?
Please. Get your lick back?
Please.
Hold on. I see someone in the chat shouting out San Diego State. We're not going to do that. FAU is going to go ahead and win that matchup. We're going to the championship. Do not try me, sir. I see you. Get San Diego
it's
State
be a South
out of my
Florida
face.
National championship.
We're doing a South Florida national championship. Yeah, we got Miami versus FAU. Book
that'd be
it.
Crazy.
Okay, what we got next?
Listen, guys, we're going to end the show. We are ending the show for this week. Successful week of shows, but we are not done. We have one more gifts for you. We have our sit down with Shador Sanders coming up on the channel. Really dope conversation we had. As Brandon mentioned, he was here working out, working on, you know, some things. TB12 room that we have here at House of Athlete. As you know, he's a Brady athlete. But we had a really great conversation with him. And I what left the situation, the conversation, very impressed by him. Right. So mature for his age. Brandon and him got into a little debate about water versus juice. Yeah. It was chaos. He was not a fan of his nutrition. But you don't want to miss the conversation. It was a really, really dope one. And that's coming up on the channel. So definitely tune in for it.
Can you end us and exit us in Italiano?
Ciao. Alla prossima. Arrivederci.
Peace, y'all, next week.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.